Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're digging into Houston's bunnies on the bayou. We've pulled together some website archives, news clippings, even t-shirt images. Our mission is basically to trace the history and figure out the significance of this, well, unique Easter event.
Yeah, it all started very simply, actually. 1979, just a small Easter party among friends in an apartment over on Clay Street. Really casual.
Right, but it didn't stay that way for long, did it?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Word got out pretty quickly. Soon enough, they, you know, needed a proper sound system.
And I saw mention of mailed invitations back in the early 80s.
Exactly. Seems almost quaint now, doesn't it? Compared to just posting online.
Definitely. And that growth, it really took off.
It did. By the early 1990s, it had gotten so big they had to move. They shifted it downtown to the outdoor plaza at the Wortham Center, right there on Buffalo Bayou.
That's a significant jump. Really shows the scale it reached.
Absolutely. And then there was another big shift, probably around 2011, maybe?
The move away from those printed invites.
Yeah, seems like it. Someone mentioned the last printed one was super expensive. And, you know, social media was just becoming way more efficient for spreading the word.
Makes sense. Okay, let's look at the mid-2000s. I saw a t-shirt image.
Right, from 2004. It marks the 25th anniversary. Clearly says 25/1979/2004. So that locks in the start date.
And wasn't there something about a bonnet contest that year?
Huh, yeah. The Easter Sleeves Bonnet Contest, listed as of related interest, gives you a sense of the event's playful, maybe slightly irreverent vibe.
Playful, yes, but also increasingly focused on giving back.
Definitely. By 2005, 2006, the beneficiary lists are quite long.
Organizations like AIDS Foundation Houston, the Assistance Fund.
The Sisters, AVEs, Bering Omega, the Center for AIDS, tons of them.
And then in 2006, more names like Community Endowment Foundation, Pride Houston.
Legacy Community Health Service, HATCH, Lazarus House. It was clear charity was central.
And they started getting some big names involved too, didn't they?
Oh yeah. 2006 was a big one for publicity because Lady Bunny was there.
The Lady Bunny, founder of Wigstock.
The very same. She was a special guest DJ. Huge personality, very iconic.
I remember seeing some quotes from the Houston Voice around then. She had some strong opinions.
She did. Very direct takes on Britney Spears, Pamela Anderson, even Sarah Jessica Parker.
And wasn't she particularly annoyed about Paris Hilton getting a record deal?
Yeah, frustrated that, in her view, stupid Parasite Hilton, got a deal over more deserving artists. Very Lady Bunny.
Gives you a real flavor of her style. And she actually DJed.
Oh, yeah. She was serious about it. Had experience from visionaire parties, other gigs. She even mentioned that shifts in music taste kind of pushed her towards DJing more.
Interesting. Okay, so moving on past 2006, the charity focus stuck.
Absolutely. A 2007 Houston Press piece mentions the ongoing fundraising for local LGBTQ+ charities.
And it brought up an earlier detail from the mid-80s.
Right. How they used to charge a bag of food for entry back then. It was partly about raising awareness during the height of the AIDS epidemic. Shows that community connection from early on.
Really grounds the event in that history.
Yeah. And by 2008, it's getting wider recognition. Passport Magazine listed it.
As like a key Houston event.
Exactly. They even recommended visitors check out the Montrose gay neighborhood while they were in town for bunnies.
So it was really becoming part of the city's identity, you could say.
For sure. We also saw that cheeky tagline from a 2006 Outsmart ad.
Oh, the serious eye candy one.
That's the one. Funny little contrast to your typical Easter eggs and chocolates.
And looking at more recent years, say 2015 to 2019.
The Bunny's website mostly has online photo galleries for those years. Mm-hmm. Shows the event is still going strong, still documented, just maybe more visually online.
So tracking it all, it's quite a journey.
It really is. From that small apartment party to this huge annual fixture. Mm. But what's striking is that consistent thread of supporting the community, supporting these vital local causes.
Exactly. That longevity, that evolution. It says a lot about the community itself, its vibrancy, its adaptability, but also that sustained commitment to philanthropy.
Yeah, it really does. And it makes you think, doesn't it? How do these kinds of, you know, grassroots community events manage to last and stay relevant for decades, especially when you consider how much society changes, how media changes? What is it about them that endures?
That's a great point to ponder, the essential role they play, perhaps.
Yeah.